بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Okay, sisters, today inshallah we will have message number 24 of the Messages of Hope, and we will have class number 9 of classes of having trust in Allah, and we will continue to know about dreams in Islam. And today the title of the class is the three types of dreams. Today inshallah we will continue to learn about dreams. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, dreams are of three types: a dream from Allah, that is to say a dream which is a good dream, this is the dream from Allah. The second type is a dream which causes distress, and this is a dream from the shaitan. And a dream which comes from what a person thinks about when he is awake, and he sees it when he is asleep. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that dreams in Islam are of three types. Number one, the dreams that come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are the good dreams. Number two, the dreams which come from the shaitan, and these are the bad dreams. And the dreams which come from within yourself. What is the meaning of number three? The meaning of number three is that, suppose before sleeping, I was mentally busy by the idea that my daughter tomorrow will go, will travel from California, for example, to come to Houston, and I am worried that maybe the plane will not be in time, and maybe her kids will cause trouble in the airport, and maybe, and maybe. So when I sleep, I will have all these thoughts in my dream. Okay, all the time in the dream I will be with my daughter in the airport. Okay, this is the third type of the dreams, and it is related to what you think about when you are asleep. Okay, so now we will learn about the true dreams. The true dreams are the dreams of the prophets. Okay, it was reported that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, true dreams are one of the 46 parts of prophethood. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that people nowadays whom they have dreams while they are sleeping, and then in the morning, these dreams, these good dreams, okay, these are the good dreams, these good dreams turn to be a reality as if, as they see it in the dream, they live it in the in their life. These are called the true dreams. These true dreams are considered one of the 46 parts of prophethood. You see? What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this, sisters, is that these true dreams are very little to happen. Very, very, very little to happen, and it happens to special people. This is what I will clarify to you now in detail. At the beginning, we must learn that the dreams of the prophets are revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the prophets are protected from the shaitan. The dreams of the prophets are protected from the shaitan, and so their dreams are a revelation, and this is agreed upon. Okay, and because of that, when Prophet Ibrahim saw that he has to slaughter his son, he believed that this is a revelation from Allah, and he decided to obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, regarding the dreams of the prophets, they are revelation. So we are not supposed, we normal human beings, to compare ourselves with the prophets. And to say to ourselves, so long the dream of Prophet Muhammad is a true dream, so my dream also is a true dream. Wrong. This is wrong equation. Okay, because the dreams of the prophets are revelation, and there is no more prophets after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the last prophet to be sent to humanity. Okay, what about the dreams of other people like us? The dreams of our people like us are one of these three types of the dreams. I will clarify to you now in details about the first type of the dreams, the true dreams which are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are considered one part of the 46 parts of prophethood. Whoever wants to have true dreams, he should strive to speak honesty, eat halal food, adhere to the rules of the Quran and Sunnah, avoid that which Allah and His Messenger have forbidden, sleep in a state of complete purity, doing wudu and facing al-Qibla, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until he feels asleep. Remember Allah means recitation of the Quran or doing dua before sleeping. What is the meaning of this sister? The meaning of this sister is to have true dreams nowadays is extremely difficult. Okay, so that we will be realistic. Before saying, last night I have a true dream and I am sure this is a dream from Allah and this is a true dream, try to check yourself. Are you the one who strives to speak honesty? Are you adherent to the rules of Quran and Sunnah? Are you avoiding what Allah have forbidden? Do you sleep in a state of complete purity, doing wudu, and do you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before sleep? Actually, if you try to evaluate how most of the Muslims sleep, they always sleep very late, and before sleeping they are always either with the computer or the television. Okay, no, Allah is not in the agenda at all before sleeping. Okay, and they just finish playing on the computer or chatting or whatever, or watching the television. Okay, and after they finish everything, they fell asleep. And in the morning, they wake up and say, I have a true dream. You are alive. You don't know anything. Okay, I want you to write all the questions and I will answer it to you at the end. Okay. So, sisters, I want you all the time to be aware of these conditions before saying, I have a true dream. Okay? Inshallah, if you are one of those whom he or she fulfill all the conditions which I just mentioned, inshallah, you will have your dream. And your dream will be one part of the 46 parts of prophethood. You see how the true dream is very precious in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, because the true dream in that situation will be a knowledge of the future. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not giving the knowledge of the future to any human being, to any Muslim who is spending most of the time away from the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we must be aware of this fact. Okay? Number two, the most trustful of the dreams are those that are seen at the time of al-Sahar, the time which is just before dawn, before Fajr. Suppose Fajr now is at 5 o'clock, so the most trustful dreams are the dreams, for example, between 3:30 and 5 o'clock. Whatever you see between 3:30 and 5 o'clock, while you fulfill the previous conditions, okay, inshallah, this can be a trustful dream. Okay? Because why at the time of just before dawn is the time of the trustful dreams? Because this is the time when Allah descends and when mercy and forgiveness are close. Okay? And actually this is the time of the acceptance of the dua. Okay? The time just before Fajr prayer, okay, is the time The third part of the night is the time of the acceptance of the dua and acceptance of forgiveness by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah descends to the closest heaven and Allah asks, who is wants me to answer the supplication, I will answer the supplication. Who is looking for forgiveness, I will forgive them. So we are supposed to be awake the third part of the night to call on Allah to answer our dua and to forgive us. But if you fell asleep while you are doing the dua, while you are praying, you are exhausted with worshipping Allah, and you saw a dream, and you are fulfilling the previous conditions, inshallah, this is a true dream, because in that condition you are one of the pious on the earth. You are someone who is obeying the commands of Allah, who is living the life for the sake of Allah. You wake up at night and you pray and you do dua. You are so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to fulfill all these conditions before saying, I am one of the human beings whom I have all my dreams true. Because there are some people whom you meet in life and they are far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they always sit with the people and say loudly, I am the one whom Allah make me to have a lot of true dreams. This can be according to the rules of the sunnah. Okay? Again, sisters, you must know that at that time, just before the dawn, it is the time when the devils are quiet. Unlike the time of the darkness, just after the sunset, after Maghrib prayers, this is the time when devils spread out. Okay? And because of that, actually, just this is an information for all of us, is that soon after Maghrib prayer, the devils will spread out, and because of that, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded the Muslims to get their kids in the house. If they are playing outside until the sunset, when the Maghrib prayer comes, immediately call your kids to get in, because this is the time when the devil spread out and the crime rate increases after the sunset. Okay? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, regarding to these dreams, the true dreams, he said, if any one of you sees a dream that he likes, okay, a good dream, this is from Allah, let him praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and talk about it to others. Okay? Regarding having the good dream, sisters, this is a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Suppose I am sleeping, fulfilling all these conditions at that time just before dawn, then I saw in the dream that after a week, I will go to the doctor and the doctor will tell me, inshallah, you will be cured from your illness, inshallah, everything will be alright. For example, I saw that dream. So when I wake up, number one, I have to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then I have to remember that I fulfilled all the conditions to having a true dream. So this is from Allah, so I will be happy. Then so long as the dream is clear, I can understand it. I understand the dream. I am going to the doctor. He is saying to me some words. Everything is clear to the dream. I can say it to everyone. Sometimes you can see a good dream, but you cannot understand it. Okay? For example, someone who fulfilled the same condition, then she slept before dawn. Then she saw herself in a very big garden, having very nice clothes. Okay? So, this is a good dream. Having very nice clothes, looks very healthy, and living in a garden. But still, the dream is not clear. What is the meaning of this? Tomorrow I will go to the park? Or after a week? Or what is the meaning? Now, this dream needs someone to clarify it. It is a good dream, and you can say it to everyone. But still, the dream is not so clear, the message of the dream. Okay? Actually, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the one who can explain the dreams. This is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? Some people nowadays are claiming that they can explain the dreams. Not anyone can explain the dreams. This must be clear to everyone. Because the dreams are messages from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the true dream, the good dreams. So, not everyone can understand the message of Allah. You can say this dream to two people. Okay? One of them can tell you, oh, you will have a very good provision because you have very good clothes in the dream. Okay? And you will travel to a country full of gardens. Maybe you will go to California. This is the explanation of my dream. Some other one can tell you the explanation of the dream is totally different. You will buy a house with a very big garden. And when you buy the house, you also have new clothes. So you will wear the new clothes while you are sitting in the garden. None can accept these two explanations. Okay? Because none can say, I can explain the dreams. There are very little people whom they claim, I can explain the dreams, and this is a very big responsibility in the sight of Allah. So the best is that, when you have a good dream, just say all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you can mention it to anyone. And wait and see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it a reality. Because nowadays, in reality, I don't trust anyone to give me the meaning of any dream. This is what I believe in. I don't trust anyone on the earth to tell me I am very sincere and I can tell you the meaning of the dream. Even me myself, I cannot say the meaning of any of the dreams. Because actually, to say the meaning of the dream, it needs a very special a spirit which is very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I am worried to say I am that person. If anyone can say it, let him say it, but I don't trust him. I just trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will wait and see how Allah will make it a reality in my life. Okay? So this is about the good dreams, type one of the dreams in Islam. Now we have two other good dreams. Okay? The second type of the dream is the dream which comes from what a person thinks about when he is awake. Okay? And actually, sister, this is the most common type of the dreams. Why? Because all the time we are thinking of our problems. All the time we are mentally busy with our issues of the worldly life. All the time. And every night before sleeping, try to check with yourself what you are thinking of before sleeping. Are you remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you saying the supplication of Prophet Muhammad before sleeping? Are you reciting the Quran? Or you are just thinking, what will happen tomorrow regarding that issue, my relation with my husband, my relation with my kids, that problem with my sister, that issue with my brother? Okay, and accordingly, most of our dreams are related to, you know, what is happening in our worldly life. Actually, me personally, I always have a dream, you know, because I always think of my daughter's exams. All the time I am in mind, you know, what Yusra will do in her exams, you know. Either in the summer or in the winter in the school, this is something in my mind. Whenever I sleep, I always see a dream that the time of the exam is about to finish and Yusri didn't write any word. You see? And then I am trying to say to her, Yusri, write anything in the paper. Yusri, you see? Then I wake up in the morning and you see it is the summer time. Then it will come again in a different way. We are in front of the school and we arrive to school late and the exam finished. Then I am blaming Yusra and fighting with Yusra. You wake up late and you didn't come to the exam. You see Yusra. You see why? Because this is the idea in my mind. Someone whom she is thinking of her husband, she is she will be all the time seeing or watching, seeing her husband in the dream, you know, so and so. A problem regarding the job, she will be all the time. When I was working, I have the dreams regarding, you know, the residents whom they were working with me. All the time, this is my personal impression. Most of the dreams are because of, we are always so busy with our worldly issues, we cannot find the solutions while we are awake, so we try to find the solution while we are sleeping. Okay, the third type of the dreams is the dream from the shaitan, which is always a dream that is distressing. When you have a dream that is distressing, for example, someone who always sees his head cut off and he is following it. You see, he will see that someone cut off his head is running and he is after it. You see how this dream is very distressing? This is a dream from the shaitan. Okay, or he sees someone who always sees himself falling into a crisis. Okay, every night I have a friend whom she always sees herself, you know, sitting and having divorce with her husband. Every night she will see that dream. In spite of the fact she is in a good relation with her husband, this is from the shaitan. Okay, also someone who just engaged, for example, a Muslim girl, and then in the dream he sees that, you know, that girl is fighting with him. So he will say, feel that it will not be good, I will not continue this, you know, relation, and this is all from the shaitan. Okay, so now we learn that there are good dreams from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has some conditions. There are most of the dreams from our spirit because of what we are busy with mentally before we sleep. And the third is the bad dreams. You know, these dreams which are called the nightmares. Okay, the nightmares are from the shaitan. Okay. Actually, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if any one of you sees a dream that he dislikes, this is from the shaitan. So let him seek refuge with Allah. Actually, how he will seek refuge with Allah? Because the minute we see the bad dream or the nightmare, we wake up. Okay, you wake up and you say, I see a very bad dream. Immediately seek refuge with Allah from its evil. Say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim, from its evil. And never to mention it to anyone. You see, sister, this is what you have to learn from Islam. Never to mention it to any person, to your husband, to your kid, to your father, to your mother. Never. Don't mention it. Okay, because that dream which is from the shaitan, the bad dream, it will never harm you. Okay, but if you spread it to other people will try to explain it for you, and then it will be a big psychological problem for you. But if you just forget it and seek refuge with Allah from its evil, be sure that it will never harm you. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if any one of you sees a dream that he dislikes, let him spit to his left 3 times. What is the meaning of this? Spitting, sisters, is to do without saliva. No saliva. Okay, just as if you are getting rid of the dream. Okay, 3 times on your left side. Okay, seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan. And when you plan to sleep again, turn from the side on which you were sleeping. If you were sleeping on the left side and you have the dream, okay, and you wake up, you have this nightmare, you wake up, seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan and from its evil, and then spit 3 times on your left side, okay, and Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, then sleep on the other side, okay. Also, if you were on the left, sleep on the right. If you were on the right, sleep on the left. Change the side you sleep on. In another narration, it was mentioned also that since you wake up, try to pray 2 rak'ahs for the sake of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So, to sum what we are supposed to do when we have nightmares, number 1, you should seek refuge with Allah from the evil of the dream. from the evil of the dream. Number two, you should seek refuge with Allah from the evil of the shaitan. Number three, you should spit to your left side three times when you wake up, and turn from one side to another, and you should not mention it to anyone at all. And again, sister, I am trying to stress on this rule, never to mention the bad dream to anyone at all, even to very religious people. Never to mention it. Okay, try to forget it. It is from the shaitan, and you should wake up and pray. Okay, this is how you treat the bad dreams or the nightmares. But the more important question, sisters, is how to avoid bad dreams. Okay, always prevention is better than treatment. So as Muslims, we are supposed basically to avoid having bad dreams. Number one, you must recite the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah before you sleep. We will recite it together now. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever recites the last two verses from Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2 at night, they will be sufficient for him. Okay, so now we will recite together the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, and inshallah they will be sufficient for you. Okay, so always keep the Quran beside you, inshallah, beside your bed. And before you sleep, we will read now, sisters, from Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2. And we will read the last two verses. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The last two verses is verse number 285, 286. Okay? And actually, sisters, when you will keep on recitation of these two verses of the Quran, you will memorize them by time. Okay? And when you will memorize them, inshallah, by time, you will recite them every night, inshallah, before you sleep. A'udhu. You know, sisters, because you are English speaking, you can get a recorder. Okay, and you can have these two verses of the Quran, and you can listen to them in Arabic. Just understand, first understand their meaning 100%. This is the most important. Don't recite anything which you don't understand its meaning, because you will not get its benefit. So read it, understand the message of it, then, because you need to recite them every day before you sleep, try to memorize them. Try to keep them all the time in the recorder or in the CD or in the car in Arabic. Gradually, you will memorize them, and alhamdulillah, you understand their meanings. Okay? A'udhu billah. Because when you memorize the Quran, you memorize the Arabic Quran. When you recite all the time the English Quran. But when you decide to memorize, memorization is only for the Arabic Quran. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إثرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. Okay, the messenger believes in what he has been sent down to him from his Lord and the believers. Each one believes in Allah, his angels, his books, and his messengers. We make no distinction between one another of his messengers. And they say, we hear and we obey. Your forgiveness, our Lord, and to you is the return of all. Allah burdens not a person beyond his scope.
he gets reward from that which he has earned, and he's punished for that which he has earned. Our Lord, punish us not if we forget or fall into error. Our Lord, lay not on us a burden like that which you did lay on those before us. Our Lord, put not on us a burden greater than we have strength to bear. Pardon us and grant us forgiveness. Have mercy on us. You are our mullah, and give us victory over the disbelieving people.
Okay, thank you. Okay. So now, sisters, you know, these are the two verses of the Quran, which, inshallah, you must recite before you sleep. Okay?
So try to know the meaning, and then you can, inshallah, have it in Arabic, and you can gradually, inshallah, try to listen to it and memorize it, inshallah. Also, it is the sunnah to recite Surah number 112, Surah number 113, Surah number 114 before you sleep. As Aisha, the wife of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah be pleased with her, she narrates, on going to bed, the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessing be upon him, would blow into his hands like this, sister, and recite Surah number 112, 113, 114. Then he would wipe his hands over his face and his body as far as they could reach. Aisha continued, when he fell ill, he would ask me to do that for him. Now I will show you, sister, practically how you can do this. So now, sisters, we will read these surahs. Okay, and then I will clarify to you why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose these surahs. Okay? A'udhu billahi minash shaitan. The first one is surah number 112. Actually, this is Qul huwallahu ahad. Qul huwallahu ahad, sister, is called Surah Al-Ikhlas. Al-Ikhlas means the sincerity. Okay? Sincerity is the belief in the oneness of Allah. Say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد.
No, you can just take it. Say, he is Allah.
The one.
Continue.
No, go ahead.
Allah. Okay. Allah asked Samad. He begets not, nor was he begotten. And there is none co-equal or comparable to him.
Okay, sisters, actually this surah of the Quran is equal to one third of the Quran. Okay, because it has all the meaning of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually, one of the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he always recited only this surah in his prayer. So he said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "I love the Allah and I love surah number 112, Qul huwa Allahu ahad." So Prophet Muhammad replied, "Allah loved you that you love this surah." Okay, because actually this surah is the basic of the belief in the oneness of Allah. Say, he is Allah, the one. Okay, so actually Allah is the self-sufficient, Allah is the master, Allah is the one who take care of all the needs of the creatures. He begets not, nor was he begotten. There is none co-equal or comparable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Surah Al-Ikhlas, Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. Now, sister, we will read two surahs. These two surahs are called Al-Mu'awwadhatayn. What is the meaning of Al-Mu'awwadhatayn? Al-Mu'awwadhatayn actually are the surahs which are used to protect from the shaitan. Okay? Because in these surahs, now you will learn the meaning of these two surahs. Okay, these two surahs, in these two surahs, you are seeking refuge with Allah, okay, from many things which are related to the shaitan. So these two surahs, surah number 113, surah al-Falaq, surah number 114, surah al-Nas, both of them you read it always twice when you want to protect yourself from the shaitan. Okay? So now we will read surah number 13, surah al-Falaq. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. Now I will read for you Surah An-Nas, then Romilia will read both. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس.
Say, I seek refuge with Allah, the Lord of the Daybreak, from the evil of what He has created, and from the evil of the darkening, as it comes with the darkness, and from the evil of those who practice witchcraft when they blow in the notes, and from the evil of the envier when he envies. Say, I seek refuge with Allah, the Lord of mankind, the King of mankind, the Ilah of mankind, from the evil of the whisper who withdraws in one's heart after one remembers Allah, who whisper in the breast of mankind, of jinn and men.
Okay, sister, so actually these are the three surahs which you must read before you sleep, and you do as Prophet Muhammad did. What you are supposed to do, you get your hands like this, okay, together, and then you blow, and then you recite these three surahs. Surah number قل هو الله أحد قل أعوذ برب الفلق قل أعوذ برب الناس, seeking refuge with Allah from the shaitan, okay, and from its evil. Then you actually start to wipe first your face and then every part of your body. You look to me up to your feet down, then you return back from the back, okay, like this. You cover your body with the verses of the Quran and words of Allah. Actually, in another hadith, it is mentioned that you do this three times. And yes, actually, three times. And always it is mentioned that you do it especially for the kids, so that inshallah, the kids will be away from the shaitan while they are sleeping. But actually, it is the sunnah to do it also for yourself, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was ill, he asked his wife Aisha to do that for him. Okay? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, whenever you go to bed, perform ablution, wudu, like the one you perform for the prayer. Lie on your right side and say, O Allah, I surrender to you and entrust all my affairs to you and depend upon you, fearing you and reposing my hope in you. There is no fleeing from you. There is no protection and safety except with you. I believe in your book, the Quran, which you have revealed, and in your Prophet Muhammad, whom you have sent. Then if you die on that night, you will die as a believer in the religion of Islam. Try to make these words the last ones before you sleep. Actually, sister, these are the supplication before sleeping. Okay, they are mentioned in many small books, and actually next week, inshallah, I will bring it to you printed, and inshallah, I will give you, every one of you, inshallah, a copy of this supplication before sleeping. Keep this paper beside your bed, and they are in English, before you sleep. Okay, try to have the habit to call on Allah and to remember Allah before sleeping, so that inshallah the shaitan will never touch you. And inshallah I will bring for you these many du'as, which I will teach you now what to say before you want to sleep. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, he also said,
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, when any one of you wants to sleep, he should lie on his right side, then say, O Allah, Lord of the heavens and the earth, and Lord of the mighty throne, our Lord and the Lord of all things, splitter of the seed and the dead stone, revealer of the Torah, the Gospel and the Quran, I seek refuge in you from all the evil of all the things. O Allah, you are the first and there is nothing before you, and you are the last and there is nothing after you. You are the manifest and there is nothing above you, and you are the hidden and there is nothing beyond you. Settle our debt and spare us from poverty. Actually, these are different supplication. The Muslim can choose one of them and say it before sleep, so that inshallah you always feel that you are close to Allah before sleeping. Actually, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us another dua which we are supposed to say it in the morning, after Fajr prayer, and at the evening after Maghrib prayer. These supplications are supplications before, after Fajr and after Maghrib prayer. That is to say, at the beginning of the day and at the sunset. Okay, O Allah, knower of the seen and the unseen, creator of the heavens and the earth, Lord of all things, I bear witness that there is no God except you. I seek refuge in you from the evil of my own self and from the evil and traps of Satan. If you say this in the morning and in the evening, and you must say this in the morning and in the evening and also when you go to bed, so inshallah with this supplication, sisters, you will be away from the touch of the shaitan. You will not have the bad dreams, and you will only have there is a possibility to have the dreams of your own self or the good true dreams from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so now sisters, regarding the dreams, I will mention to you about a question someone sent it, which is, what is the best way to see Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream? Someone asked this question. Actually, the answer is, before mentioning to you the answer, I want to clarify to you that many Muslims always say, I saw Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam last night in my dream. And when you ask the sister how you see him, how he looked like, she will tell you, I saw a white screen in front of me, and I felt that this white screen is related to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And many people, they have different things. I will give you the answer about how to see Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dream. The answer is, there is no way prescribed in the Islamic law for the one who wants to see Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dream. There is no way to say, okay? But let us learn some facts related to that question. Number one, the one who sees Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dream has to see him in his true form at any stage of his life, because actually the shaitan cannot, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, I will tell you, because the shaitan cannot have the shape of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that if someone comes and say, I saw Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dream, this means that he saw Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in reality. He saw his face, he saw his eyes, he saw his hair, he saw his body, he saw everything. Okay? Because Prophet Muhammad, the shaitan cannot resemble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you see Prophet Muhammad, you will see him in details, in the true image of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And actually this is happening very rare. Okay? Because mostly the Muslim are confused that when someone wants to feel that he is close to Allah, he will sleep with this idea. I want to be close to Allah, I want to be close to Allah. So next day the sister will come and say, I saw Prophet Muhammad in the dream last night. This is not the reality. Okay? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If a person claims to have seen light, this is the light. Always the people say, I saw light. Or a man with a completely white beard, okay, these are not the attributes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? So now, how I can see Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You can see Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your heart. You can feel him in your heart when you follow the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you live the manners of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you do the acts of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, this means that more and more you will feel Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your heart. This is what we should seek to achieve. I am not supposed to have my goal in life to see Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my dream. No, your goal in life as a Muslim, true believer in the oneness of Allah, is to live your life according to the rules of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to have Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam your real model. Whoever will see you will say, oh, mashallah, that man is following the rules and the manners of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That man makes me to remember the good manners of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sincerity of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how trustful was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But just to try to confuse yourself by saying, I see him in the dream, if you see him, you must see him in his true image, and this is very real. Okay, sister. So now we already learned about the dreams, the horoscopes, superstitions, and we believe that we must put our trust only on our Lord Allah, the one and the only one who knows the future and controls it. Let us now continue to learn the ahadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which are related to at-tawakkul, having trust in Allah. Inshallah, today I will finish tawakkul in general, then we will start tawakkul, trust and provision from next week inshallah, and because of that I want to finish with these ahadith which are related to at-tawakkul, having trust in Allah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you all depend on Allah with you reliance, he would certainly give you provision as he gives it to the birds who go forthy hungry in the morning and return with full belly at dusk. So now, sisters, inshallah, I want to give you the meaning of this hadith, because actually this hadith is very important. And it is one of the rules related to having trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. I will explain it to you in a paper. Okay, sisters, please come here because I want to clarify it to you. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that in the morning these are the birds. Okay, for example, I don't know how to make the bird. Suppose this is a bird. Okay, in the morning the birds will start to fly out, okay, while this is their abdomen. Their abdomen is sunken. Why? Because there is no food. Okay, but they start to fly, okay, in the sky while they are hungry and they don't have any food. And they keep on flying the whole day. At the end of the day, they will return to the same point while this abdomen is full, like this. Okay? So this is the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that these are the birds who go forth hungry in the morning and return with full belly at dusk. At the end of the day, they will return with the full belly. Okay? What is the meaning of this hadith? The meaning of this hadith, sister, the number one is that these birds, they didn't stay, okay, and Allah sent for them the food from the sky. They move around. They fly the whole day. They do an effort. They struggle for the sake of the food. Okay? This is the first lesson which you must learn from this hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not sending the provision from the heaven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants everyone, like the birds, to move, to try all the means to struggle, to do an effort, so that inshallah Allah will provide us as Allah is providing the birds, whom they leave in the morning hungry and they don't know where is their provision. They don't know anything about the provision. They are up in the sky, they don't know anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them to know where is the food. They will come down and get it, they will eat, then they will fly again and come back. Who is behind all of this story of the provision of the birds? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, you can take a seat, I will clarify to you more. Because actually this hadith is one of the basic rules of Islam. We must all know it so that we will not be confused about the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, we must try all the means and work hard to fulfill our goals. And at the same time, we must have the trust that Allah is the source of all the blessings. Trying all the means, working very hard, struggling for our goals is a must in Islam. We must realize that birds don't keep sitting in their nests for food. They fly out in search for it. And this means that they do an effort. So because of that effort, Allah provides them. Having trust in Allah goes hand in hand with working hard and trying all halal means. Okay? And actually, this is the same message which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us when he said to the man who come to the masjid with his camel and he wants to enter the masjid to pray. So that man asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am supposed to tie my camel and then to enter the masjid, or I am supposed to leave my camel to Allah and enter the masjid? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, tie it up first and then enter the masjid. Okay, what is the meaning of these sisters? We Muslims must realize that we have to try all the means. We need to work hard. We need to struggle for the goals. And at the same time, I have full trust that the results are up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful. Because there are some people and some Muslims whom they believe that so long Allah will provide me by any means, so I will stay at home and Allah will send for me my provision because Allah is the provider. This is a wrong theory in Islam. In Islam, we must try the means, we must do an effort, we must struggle, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the one to provide us. This means that my work is not the source of my provision, that my provision is Allah. But Allah is also commanding me to try all the means. This is how you can combine working hard and having trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again and again, many people blame the Muslims that they are lazy, they are not working hard, they want others to spend on them, they want others to care of them, they want others to work for them. This is actually not accepted in Islam. In Islam, you must work, you must try hard, and be sure that you will be rewarded in this life and in the hereafter according to your work, according to your effort and your energy. Now we will learn this from 4 verses of the Quran. Actually, sister, this is a very important message of this class. You must work hard. You must try the means. You must try all the ways. So that, then have trust in Allah. Allah will reward you for every effort you do it, believing that He is the provider. Never to wait for someone to provide you. Never to wait for someone to throw your responsibility on him or on her. Okay, you are supposed to take care of your kids as a mother. Don't throw your responsibility to the Islamic school or to the nanny or to the kindergarten and then to say, I did my responsibility. No, this is not your responsibility. You are transferring your responsibility to others so that you will be away from the responsibility you didn't try for your responsibility. Your responsibility is to, for example, to take care of the kids. The responsibility of the father is to spend and and to share in the responsibility of the kids. Not to say to the mother, it is your responsibility to take care of the kids alone. This is wrong. You are someone not doing your responsibility in life, and this is not the trust in Allah. The trust in Allah is number one, fulfill your responsibility, try the best, and number two, have trust in Allah. Don't just forget about the effort and say, my wife, I trust you to take care of the kids. No, my dearest husband, you are deceiving yourself. Your responsibility is your responsibility. Everyone has a responsibility. We are not supposed to say Allah will provide, Allah will take care, Allah is the most merciful, and we will stay at home and we are sure of the mercy of Allah. This is not the trust in Allah. This is the deceiving of the self. And now we will read from Surah number 9, verse number 105, to learn that Islam is the religion of doing work and trying hard for the sake of the good. Surah number 9. We will read Surah number 9, verse number 102. 102. Surah number 9, verse number 102. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah 9, verse 105. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa qul i'malu fasayara Allahu 'amalakum wa rasuluhu wal mu'minun. وستردون إلى عالم الغيب والشهادة فينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. And say, come and sit here, verse 105. Okay. Go ahead.
And do deeds. Allah will see your deeds and His messenger and the believers, and you will be brought back to the all-knower of the unseen and the seen. Then He will inform you of what you used to do.
You see, sisters, so again and again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inform us about what we used to do, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to do all the good deeds. Not only to worship Allah by coming to the masjid or praying or fasting, no, doing the good deeds meaning doing your responsibility. Now we will read also from Surah number 53. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah number 33, Surah al-Najm. We will read from verse number 39, 40 and 41. A'udhu billahi min Surah number 53, verse number 39, 40 and 41. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأن ليس للإنسان إلا ما سعى وأن سعيه سوف يرى ثم يجزاه الجزاء الأوفى.
Those who convey the message of Allah and fear Him and fear none save Allah. And so
and that man can 39 Surah number 53.
Oh,
sorry. Let's read with me.
Okay. And that man can have nothing but what he does. And that his deeds will be seen. Then he will be recompensed with a full and the best recompense.
Okay, so now sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to us that man can have nothing but what he does. Okay, so again and again, sisters, try to take care of deeds, try to take care of your responsibilities. Now we will read also from Surah Al-Jum'ah, Surah number 62, verse number 9 and 10. 62, verse number 9 and 10. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون.
9 and 10. O you who believe, when the call is proclaimed for the Salat on Friday, come to the remembrance of Allah and Salat and leave off business. That is better for you if you did but know. Then, when the Salat is ended, you may disperse through the land and seek the bounty of Allah and remember Allah much that you may be successful.
So again, sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even regarding Jum'ah prayer, which is a must for the Muslim man to pray in the masjid, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that after you pray Jum'ah prayer, okay, you must leave off, you must, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, disperse through the land and seek the bounty of Allah by working, okay? So this is a clarification that as it is very important for Allah to come to Jum'ah prayer, it is also very important for Allah to try to work hard and to seek the bounty by working. Okay? So at the end, sisters, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a group of people, both men and women, whose hearts will be like the hearts of the birds, will enter Jannah, paradise. If you want to enter the paradise, have the heart of the bird, that is, try to work hard, try all the means, then put the trust in Allah. Allah will provide you as Allah is providing the bird every day. Actually, this is the teaching of Islam regarding tawakkul, having trust in Allah. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, to shower all of us with His mercy and to give us hearts full of trust in Him only. Okay, now inshallah, this is the end of the classes of tawakkul, and inshallah next week we will have classes about the provision, and inshallah we will start the month of Ramadan with the answered supplication. Inshallah, let us make the dua. Sir, also I want to clarify to you one thing. Coming to the masjid, learning the knowledge of the Quran, this is the best deed over the earth. And if you are staying in the masjid with the intention that I want to learn the knowledge of Allah, I want to become close to Allah, the angels will be around us and above our heads up to the heavens. Okay, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us and us answers our dua, because you are the best human beings on the earth. So long you are in the house of Allah, calling on Him, trying to learn His knowledge. So let us make the dua, calling on Him, inshallah, to answer our dua. I will make it in Arabic. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Allahumma inna nas'aluka rahmatan min indik, tahdi biha qulubana, wa tajma' biha shamlana, wa talummu biha sha'asana, wa taruddu biha al-fitana anna, wa tahfaz biha ghaibana, wa tarfa' biha shahidana, wa tuzakki بها أعمالنا وتحفظنا بها اللهم من كل سوء. اللهم اهدنا في من هديت وعافنا في من عافيت وتولنا في من توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا برحمتك شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغ به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أبقيتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا. اللهم اجعل اجتماعنا هذا اجتماعا مرحوما واجعل تفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا ولا معنا شقيا ولا محروما. اللهم لا تجعل لنا في مقام من هذا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا همًا إلا فرجته ولا كربًا إلا نفسته ولا مريضًا إلا شفيته ولا مبتلًا إلا عافيته ولا دينًا إلا قضيته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا هي لك رضًا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا قضيتها لنا برحمتك أرحم الراحمين. اللهم ارحمنا والدينا والمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. إن شاء